Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to WWE Infinity War. I'm Ollie Davis. I punched the microphone. I'm so amped just then. I'm joined by Pete Quinnell. Welcome to the WrestleMania 40/XL Night 1 Saturday review.
Part 1.
Part 1. No, this is the only... I guess it's technically part 2 because I did my edited review.
That's
went
true.
Up about half an hour ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, this is the... After this podcast... Not going to make any more videos on WrestleMania 40 Night 1.
Saturday. Part 1.
But we will be making more videos tonight. The live reactions for Night 2. So make sure you're subscribed to this channel. No, to the WrestleTalk channel. We're on the WrestleTalk podcast channel right now. And plenty more. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button. Like I said, give us a subscribe. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of this episode of WrestleMania 40. Because there's 2 episodes.
Yep.
Start of the series.
Part 1.
And send in a ultra chat.
There you go.
To WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them. Over $5. And a big thank you to this video's sponsor, WrestlingMasterclass.com. It's the best way to learn how to break into this wonderful industry of professional wrestling, from being a wrestler all the way through to one of these guys, a YouTube wrestling star. The link's in the video description below for that, so check that out. We'll have more on it later on because, Pete, I've been doing the course.
Oh, yeah?
I've learned some things.
Okay.
I've done a worksheet breaking down the Sami Zayn versus Gunther match.
That is wild. Ollie Davis has learned a thing.
Ollie Davis did some homework on his lunch break. That's what this is. Anyway, we are going to start off with the cliffhanger ending to Night 1. Mm. And I was trying to tell my lady partner at 8:30 a.m. this morning after I finished watching this, and she very kindly made me breakfast, how unique this is in WrestleMania history. Mm-hmm. I said, it's a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
We've never had a cliffhanger. And she's like, oh, what, they don't do cliffhangers in wrestling? I said, well, they actually do cliffhangers all the time. Like, that's how weekly TV is structured.
That's how TV works, yeah.
But it's never been one at WrestleMania. And she's like, oh, well, is it? But it's always 2 days, isn't it? I said, no, only for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it's always been, here's the Night 1 main event, here's the Night 2 main event.
Yeah.
It was kind of connected last year, but not fully. So we have both nights main evented by the same story, and we ended this one, which is the Roman Reigns Rock versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins tag match, with the worst possible timeline.
Yeah.
Because the Bloodline won.
Yeah. And the commentators were really putting over through this whole match that if the Bloodline win this match, Cody's screwed. Mm. Cody's got no chance of winning because it's Bloodline rules tomorrow and there's no way that he's going to win. So they're really hammering it home that Cody's definitely winning, right? Right? Come on. Like, he's got to.
There's a few things. When he handed his weight belt to his family member who is struggling with cancer right now, when he came out, I thought, well, I do hope he wins. That's a pretty baby face move right there.
Yep, because if he doesn't, I'm going to have some thoughts. And I'm on the podcast review tomorrow. I'll have lots of loud thoughts.
I really hope he doesn't win.
Yeah.
Just for the chaos.
Yeah. It would be... I don't know what it would be, but I think it might be one of the worst things I've ever seen in wrestling.
Didn't you say that last year?
I did. And this would be worse. Because that loss last year is only marginally salvaged by Cody winning this year. And if he doesn't, that makes that one even worse in retrospect.
But when he wins it on the third time, from The Rock.
Of course. Yeah.
Because The Rock is the main star.
He's the final boss, as you say.
He's been saying that quite blatantly.
Anyway, should we do a rundown of what this match actually entailed? Because we got one of the few huge returns on this show, the Cody Vader.
I was like, what did I miss?
So many huge returns. We'll get into more later. Yeah. There were so many huge returns like the Cody Vader.
Production returns.
Yes, production returns on this show. It was great. They did so many entrances. There was four of them, but it felt like at least seven.
Oh, I could have... The Rock could have kept entering. I don't mind if his whole... Like, every time he gets tagged in, everything goes dark. It was so cool. It was obviously everything went dark. Mm-hmm. I thought the setting and just the production in general was so good in sort of a genuinely awe-inspiring way, not a Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn are sort of just putting AR over everything way. That when The Rock's entrance had that and the final boss, like you were completing levels, final boss unlocked. Oh, it was terrific.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool. That man has presence. Mm. When he came out and there was the Brahma Bull logo that was in flames and he was just standing in the center of it with his People's Championship that he got the previous night. And he was just standing there. I was like, he is a star, isn't he? You know, I know it's a hot take, but The Rock is a star. He has presence. I don't understand, though, how Roman Reigns is somehow in better shape. Because that man is ripped now. And he was before. And now he's somehow more ripped. He added extra abs somehow. Crazy.
I think when you're next to The Rock.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Just rough
stuff. Take a day off. So you have to put in a few more sessions.
Absolutely. I credit because even my partner who does not watch wrestling, she was here for the co-main event.
Did she suddenly perk up when she saw Roman Reigns?
Well, she saw Roman Reigns and was just like, impressive. Yeah. Like, yeah, and she doesn't even comment normally on stuff like that.
Well, was it
but
kind
she
of
was impressed?
It's that way I do it a lot as well, where you're like, I can't just say, my God, they're attractive. So I've got to say something else because I just need to get out a compliment.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, no, great actress. Great. Yeah. Oh wow. Look, have you seen her hair?
She said she wouldn't like it. She wouldn't, but she appreciates him physically.
She acknowledges him physically.
She acknowledges him physically.
Oh, God, Pete.
Great. Anyway, so in this match, it started off, let's say, slow.
Yeah.
It was.
I think that's fair.
There was a lot of back and forth, a lot of feeling each other out, very slow, kind of methodical beatdowns and stuff, brawling out into the crowd. But the way they did it, I think, they added an extra element, which to me didn't justify the slowness of it, but justified the ref not calling off the match, which was Rock threatening to fire the ref, which is him saying, I'm a board member, I will fire you if you end this match. That's it. That's all you need. And then everything else makes sense.
And later on, there's this awesome spot of a match with many awesome spots, but this is probably one of my top few. The Rock just gets Seth Rollins' legs open and just punches him right in the dick.
Yeah.
Right in front of the referee. And you're like, ah, oh, cool, that's good. But then the referee's reaction is to apologize to Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my God, you just turned the ref babyface.
Yes, it's brilliant. Yeah.
The whole psychology of that was tremendous.
Yeah, really, really good. Which means they could get away with doing things like that low blow spot, using foreign objects and things in the match. They could just get away with anything because... what's he going to do? You know, he's going to get fired if he calls off the match.
Bloodline always rules.
Exactly. So after about, let's say, 20 minutes of this beatdown bit, it started to ramp up.
So in total, it's a 44-minute match.
It's a long time.
The second longest WrestleMania match of all time.
Yeah. The only other one being an Iron Man match.
that hour and a bit long match. Yeah.
That was
boring too, though, for large parts.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, wonder what they got in common. Okay, I'm just going to reel off some spots that I really liked. Mm. So there was a disaster kick that Cody did that was countered into a Superman punch, which was really cool. Punched him out of midair. That was great. Reigns' selling of seeing his own blood because he got a little bit busted open on his nose or something, I think from that Superman punch, I think. And he just saw it and he was like, it was like White Goodman from Dodgeball, like, nobody makes me bleed my own blood. And he just, oh my God, this guy made me bleed? And he got furious, got into the corner, was like, I'm going to spear this guy to hell because he made me bleed.
The disrespect.
It was so good. Mm. Especially of how bleeding has played into this story so far with Rock and Cody and stuff before. I'm like, huh.
Bloodline.
Yeah, right? Like, it's interesting. It's spicy.
Sounds like you're working on some heavily researched video there, Pete.
Maybe. Who knows if I've put in so much time researching the Bloodline in the last couple months. Who knows? There was a super Cody cutter into a splash from Rollins.
Great.
There was the stomp and a crossroads, but then The Rock pulled the ref out the ring. Mm-hmm.
That was a really good near fall.
That was a really good near fall. To the point where I think you mentioned this before, and like you were buying into the babyfaces winning.
This does not happen to me very often because usually I'm enjoying the wrestling or the superhero movie. But I'm also meta thinking, but they shouldn't do that because you want them to win. Mm-hmm. You want them to lose to create a more compelling third act.
Yeah.
But very rarely, I either get worked or I like someone so much. Like, I just want Eddie Kingston to have an easy path to winning the AEW World title. That's bad booking, I don't care.
Yeah.
I want Eddie to win. I was getting into this match so much, I thought, just have the baby faces win. Mm-hmm. Even though that doesn't make the best story for night two and the comeback.
Yeah. But they were so good that you just want them to do well. There was a really, really fun spot. I love this spot where Roman has the guillotine on Cody Rhodes. And they do the arm drop spot. Cody's firing up. And Rock just grabs Cody's legs and just holds him down. Like, what are you going to do? Come on, call the bell. He's not escaping. Like, Cody was literally just trapped on both ends from Rock and Roman. And then Seth comes in and stomps Roman on the face rather than the back of the head. I was like, oh, this is so good. Like, so many, like, unique creative spots. They just work into that drama so, so well. So good.
What did you make of The Rock's performance in general? Because, you know, he's what, 52? I can't
51
remember. 51.
Yeah.
10 years of ring rust, you could argue.
Yeah. I think it was the right call to have a tag match, so he can hide a little bit amongst that. But even with that, there was a lot of solo time for The Rock, whether it be like he went off and brawled in the crowd by himself, no Roman or hiding in that during the
slower
parts. That's a bit of smoke and mirrors. Went off and did that. There wasn't a lot of technical mat wrestling or anything from him, but I never expected that from him. What he did do in this match was provide that presence, that aura, and the moves that he did hit looked very good. So I think it was pretty spot on, you know?
I agree. I never once thought Rock looks gassed, which maybe that's because it was freezing.
Yeah, maybe.
And he wasn't like, usually sweating much. Yeah. He always seemed to, the heel character as well, just let him feel a lot more solid in the ring as opposed to the baby face where, you've got to work differently. And then in terms of the bumps he took, he did take that bump through the announce table.
Sure did. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, respect there for taking a big level bump as well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, there's going for a rock bottom through the table. Cody countered to deliver the rock bottom himself through off one comment table, through another. Looked awesome.
And then really, Roman, really cool. Sorry to get ahead of your spots, Roman then, seconds after, speared Seth Rollins through the timekeeper's barricade area.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite spots anyone can do. And that was the moment, probably about 35 minutes in, or maybe even later, 40 minutes in, where it went from, wow, this has been ramping up to, oh my God, this is the main event now.
Yeah, 100%. That's when it felt like, okay, now we're here. We've done all the foundation work. Let's get this match properly underway.
For me, by the way, a lot of people have said it's gone too long. And it is, 45 minutes for a main event, that is too long. But sometimes just having 20 minutes of the stalling, of the slow work at the start, does make the ending bit feel even more epic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like quantity is a quality of itself, as Joe Starlin used to say. So that is, you know, that's a good quote. Doesn't matter where it comes from.
Yeah. But for me, this is a completely different thing, but kind of similar in point. Is, you know, the new WWE speed stuff, the 3 minute matches, right? I watched the first one they did, which was Ricochet and Dragon Lee. Great people to have, by the way, for a 3 minute match. They'll put on a great match. But I got to the end of it and I was like, it felt like a normal WWE match, but they just skipped the first 10 minutes. Like, they just started at the end and it felt weird and it felt off. And this, I think, was probably too far the other way, in that you had 20 minutes of start that you didn't need. But you do need something. You can't just start halfway in. You know, you do need some foundation to make that payoff, that reward even greater towards the end. So I do agree with you. You do need some of that to start with. I do think it was a bit too long, but I'm willing to let it slide because the other half was so good when it got going. There was, yeah, when it got to that spot of Reigns spearing Rollins through the barricade, my next note was, this is exactly what I wanted this match to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so, so good. And there was, Roman accidentally speared Rock at one point. A bit of miscommunication where Rollins saved Cody, like barrel both of them out of the way, and Roman just spears Rock. And I thought, like, oh, this is where we lead to the Roman Rock match. And then I thought, like, oh, they're going to have the babyfaces win. Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, this is where they're going to go against everything I thought they were going to do. But it didn't cost him in the end, and they managed to recover.
Rock's selling as well of that spear.
Mm.
Like, that was the most in pain he's looked from anything he's done since he's come back.
Yeah.
So really put over Reigns' spear. Mm-hmm.
100%.
And he's probably thinking, well, when I do have the match with you, this spear needs to look devastating when it beats me.
Yeah. There was a tweet from, I think it was Simon Miller, who said, I really enjoyed Rock selling every move like he'd been hit with Thor's hammer. Like, it was just, every shot was like, the whole time. It was great. But then, gets towards the end, Cody's making this big comeback. Seth has been taken out because he's tweaked his knee, which might play into night two with the whole Drew McIntyre thing. But he's tweaked his knee. He's got a bad back. They've been killing Seth the whole match. And he's been put through the barricade and a bunch of other stuff. So Cody's making this comeback kind of by himself. Hits a crossroads, hits another one, goes for a third one. But that's when Rock hits Cody with the weight belt slap across the back. And then it allows Roman to hit a spear. Rock then asks for the tag in, which Roman accepts and says, all right, tags in Rock, hits the Rock Bottom, hits a people's elbow and pins Cody. So the Bloodline wins. It's great.
So I experienced that. I don't know how you experienced it. It'd be interesting to talk about. That moment of Reigns tagging in the Rock in conjunction with Reigns accidentally spearing the Rock, it made me feel like Roman the Big Dog is actually a bit like, I'm sorry, you're actually the boss. I know we've been saying otherwise, but I didn't mean to spear you. You can win the match. Mm-hmm. And the Rock takes it and he's like, yes, I will finish this match.
Mm-hmm.
Status-wise, it made me feel like The Rock is the head of the table, not Roman Reigns, and that Roman knows that.
Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely an element of that. I think the other reading of it, to me, I guess, is that it was an apology from Roman. Like, the accent of the spear is like, I'm sorry, take the match, because I didn't mean to hit you that one time. We're cool, right?
Don't think there's any way for Roman's character to do that apology without... Because he's so obsessed with status and acknowledgement and stuff like that. Him making that act means he's just acknowledged The Rock as the tribal chief.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I love this stuff.
We also have Mama Rhodes at ringside.
Of course.
Who The Rock just... In the Sami Zayn wife position, I think anyone who was... any family member who was going to get worked over emotionally was sat in the same place. Mm-hmm.
The family chair.
She was, The Rock constantly looked at her. At one point, he was going to get into the ring and he went, nah.
Just
and he just
back.
Went over and looked at Mama Rhodes with the belt.
The slow turn as well, because he was about to get in, stopped, and then very slowly just turned his head. And everyone knew what was coming. You could see where he was turning. We knew that she was there. And I was like, oh dear. And he turned around and started looking. I was like, here we go. All right, Rock's going to do something heinous. Also loved afterwards. With Bloodline celebrating and everything, they had the exact same framing as WrestleMania 39. Cody sitting in the ring, the Bloodline in the background, and it's the same thing. Make you think back, like, well, Cody's lost again. Think about this other thing, because now he's going to have his big comeback.
I was missing one thing, though, wasn't it?
A rubber chicken.
A rubber chicken.
I did see a beach ball earlier in this show,
though. Saw that, yeah.
Crazy. I don't know where that went. Get rid of it.
I told Pete this already, but when I saw that shot, I was like, oh, that looks like when Cena lost to The Rock. First, and then I was like, oh, yeah, and last
oh,
year.
Oh, it's the Cody thing.
But yes. It's just that what Triple H has managed to do, even mistakes or things that are just a chance of history and stuff, he makes it feel like it's part of a larger plan.
Yes.
And that was a very concerted production shot that they knew they had to get to tell that story visually.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, the commentators didn't, you didn't have Michael Cogan. Oh my God, look at it. It looks exactly like, you know, hammering you over the head.
Mm-hmm.
Just the main event, I really, really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. It felt proper big time. And what makes me excited is that I'm excited.
Yeah.
More for the follow-up.
Mm, exactly. I think I'm going to stick by what I said. I'm not going to hammer home about last year too much. I'm still not as excited as I was last year. And I don't think I would ever be, regardless of what they booked. Mm. But I am excited for tomorrow. Well, tonight, I suppose.
Yeah.
To find out what happens.
Tomorrow morning for me.
But yes, I am very excited to see where this goes. I thought this was a great match. Yes, it's a bit long, but once it gets going, top stuff. Mm-hmm. Main event caliber match right there.
Before we get into your thoughts on the Ultra Chats, we want to say a big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, WrestlingMasterclass.com. Here's a little peek. Ever dreamt of breaking into the professional wrestling business as a wrestler, promoter, booker, commentator, referee, journalist, podcaster, YouTube star, or another key role? Wrestling Masterclass is a historic online course featuring over 70 HD video lessons, podcasts, and seminars with some of the world's top wrestling experts, both in the ring and behind the scenes, including Will Ospreay, Raven, Dutch Mantel, Doug Williams, Mike Chioda, and so many more. Start your journey today at WrestlingMasterclass.com. I just did that thing you're not meant to do in radio. You're not meant to throw to your own voice. And I voice over that advert, don't
you? You do, that's true.
Well, it's a great course. Honestly, I was saying when it was being developed, I wish something like this was around like 10 years ago when I was trying to... Because I would just turn up at wrestling shows and be like, need any help? And that's literally how I got into sort of this position.
Yeah.
But like here, there's the module sort of split into, courses split into 11 things, and each module was a different part. So it's not just here's how you become a wrestler and you sort of find in a training school and all those things. It's also here's how you could become a commentator or a referee. Here's how to be a booker creatively. Here's how to be a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the sort of insurance you need and the things you need to think about to run your own show. It's got a module like that. The bit I want to talk about later, though, is wrestling psychology part one and part two. Mm. They're two separate modules. Because we always talk about psychology in wrestling.
Yeah.
And I never really know what it means.
This is where Ernie Davis is exposed as a fraud. Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. By the way, I'm also the sort of podcast guest on the Becoming a Wrestling YouTuber section. And here I am saying, yeah, I never really... You know, like, you can say, that match had great psychology. Mm-hmm. And 9 out of 10 times, I'd be great. But then if you said, what's wrestling psychology, Ollie?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, well, it's body parts. You know, you just...
work in the leg.
You work a leg, don't you? And I wouldn't really know how to to explain it to someone else, which I guess isn't a sign that you don't fully grasp it as a concept in your own brain. And one of the things was the 7 points of a wrestling match, which I'd heard before. And it's like, here's all the parts of a wrestling match that you need. It's like you establish, shine, cut off, heat, blah, 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 finish. And there's a worksheet in it. It takes you through all the points in the video bit. And then it gives you a worksheet and it's like, go watch a match and break it down. And I have done Sami Zayn versus Gunther.
Interesting. Okay.
So we'll get onto that later. But yes, please do check out the WrestlingMasterclass.com. The link's in the video description below. Moderators should be spamming it in the chat right now. At least click through and check out the modules. There's some really it gives you a real good flavor of what's there because I think you can see a free lesson and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, your chats. Ben Vlerick says, main event was perfection. Don't you know, we've seen quite a few mixed responses. Mm-hmm. I've seen everything from Mania was the worst Mania to, oh my God, this is the best night of my life.
Which is also not true.
slow burn, methodical, but stars like Cody, Roman, and especially Rock can pull it off. Match had a big fight feel, magical vibe, similar to last year's main event. When it picked up, everybody involved was on their A game. Mm-hmm. Rollins blended in, stepped up, felt like he belonged with the rest. Rock pinning Cody was the best choice. Keep Rock strong, throw as much adversity at Cody last minute before he really finally finishes the story. Bloodline rules, will rule. Kudos to especially Rock. 50 plus, hasn't wrestled in 10 years. The man gave his all and delivered. Sold his ass off, even though I will be claiming it's goofy ass selling. Mm-hmm. I've always liked the Rock selling.
Yeah, it is goofy ass
like,
selling.
Like, Shawn Michaels is a goofy seller.
Yeah, absolutely.
That. Come on, you laughed at his spear sell, didn't you? Looked like he pooed himself. Bless him. I just said I like that sell.
Yeah, it's great.
Anyway, hope we get another Rock match. I'm excited for potential matchups. Never thought I'd say that. Rock versus Cody. Rock versus a babyface Roman. Hell, Rock versus Seth even. They had chemistry too. Why hasn't he been a heel in movies? He's so damn good at it.
Well, I don't know if you know this. He did play Black Adam. Anyway.
He's the hero.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they do, because of this, because of Rock pinning Cody, which... In my head, I'd booked it that Roman pins Cody here to really hammer home that Roman is beating Cody, and then Cody beats Roman the next night as like a comeuppance thing. Rock beating Cody here says to me that there might be a Rock-Cody match at like SummerSlam, Saudi, something, and then you do Rock-Roman like next Mania, or maybe at a Saudi show in November or something, you know? And I think that is like the trilogy of these Rock matches.
Filming schedule-wise, I think most people are speculating that it would be the November Saudi show.
Yeah.
For Rock Cody. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I mean, one thing we didn't talk about in the main event, and it's the only criticism I've really got besides the too long, although that wasn't really a thing for me. It's a great build for Rock versus Cody.
Yeah.
And Roman is, for most of the last 2 months, has felt not second rate, but nowhere near as special. That's not the match I really want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's like, that's not optimal.
Yeah.
But I'm still invested in everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Banjo Cage. Last year, I was excited for Cody Rhodes to be Universal Champion, but now it will just merely be relief. Mm. Also, I think people miss the point of what a promo is. Steinemath didn't entice people to tune into TNA, but the pipe bomb drew people to WWE.
T-shirt says it.
Yep, you can get my T-shirt, Pipe Bomb Greater Than Math, at wrestleshop.com. And on Friday, in the PFK tournament, mm-hmm. we definitively proved once and for all, fair and square,
yep.
that Pipe Bomb is greater than math.
No shenanigans in that match. Absolutely not.
The Great Anton. Will we get Pete reacting to his own reaction of Cody's story? Finish your story, Pete.
Stay tuned. That's what I say to Matt. Quite possibly.
Kenny Jones. Love your work, gents. Pete, do you remember the reaction video to when Cody left AEW?
Yep.
You laughed and said he's going to end Roman's title reign.
Yeah.
Cody went from wrestling Andrade to The Rock and probably beating Roman for the belt in 2.5 years.
Yeah, so someone messaged, I think it might have been after Rumble or sometime around, someone tweeted me with a clip of me and Luke on that immediate, like, because I think we were live for like the Raw podcast or something when that news broke. And we were saying, I mean, I just don't see Cody as a main eventer in WWE. Like, Intercontinental Champion, maybe? And I was like, yeah, he's not going to dethrone Roman, is he? Whoops. Sometimes I'm just wrong.
Well, and happy to be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so great what's happened.
Rob Burwell, Memberg for 31 months. I might be going to Night 2 tonight, and whether or not I can, I'm going to enjoy the ultimate shenanigans that'll be this main event, and Cody better win.
I'm expecting this to be so much sports entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, just so many shenanigans. If you don't like overbooked messes, you're probably not going to like this main event.
Well, if this is Infinity War, we all know what happens with Endgame.
And there's been talk, you know, with the Rock beatdown, with, like, the Stone Cold and John Cena thing in the background. I'm just saying, stuff could happen, all right?
Cena, Austin raising Cody's arm mm-hmm. over a beaten and blooded Roman and Rock.
Getting KO and Sammy, why not? Throw that Jay and Jimmy, bring them back.
Very exciting. Ugh. And finally for now, Morty Jr. 5, still convinced Seth will lose and later Cody will win. After the match, he'll be kneeling, holding the title, and Seth will stomp him on it and Priest cashes in, mirroring Dusty having the title taken away.
Honestly... any form of cash in, I'll be really annoyed. Don't do that, please.
That's technically not a Dusty finish either.
No.
A Dusty finish is a title that was a win that was never recognized.
Yes.
Which I personally am not against. For me, that requires The Rock to be the special guest referee.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that still happens when, you know, eventual ref bump happens.
Sure.
Rock puts on the jerk, like, that makes him the...
Yeah.
I mean, actually, that might have been set up with him jawjacking with the referee on this mm-hmm. Night 1 match.
Yeah. Absolutely. There could... Yeah, I mean, that would be the Dusty finish, right?
Cody wins. Rock's like, no.
Absolutely not.
We're restarting this match. Yeah, same, rock bottom, Cody.
Yeah, same ref from Night 1 as well.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Mm,
that's fun.
Sounds like a good story.
It does sound like a good story, but also, don't do that! one last bit as well. I think I told you this earlier. So my partner, who does not watch wrestling at all, has basically no interest in it and finds it a bit silly.
But now she's really interested in Roman Reigns. She's like following all the accounts.
Physically. She was watching the main event with me and everyone was making their entrances and she said they were very long, which they were. Seth Rollins came out and did his entrance and he got in the ring, did his pose and the people were singing his song and I just heard her just go, mm-hmm. and I was like, what's wrong? And she just goes, I can't take him seriously.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's fair. He does look very silly.
He looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right, please keep getting your Ultra Chats in. I nearly went AEW there.
Nearly.
And we'll read every single one over $5 out before the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So this play-by-play review of WrestleMania 49-1 started off with a new... Then, Now, Forever, Together, Sting.
Together, Forever.
Yes, I said them the wrong way around.
Then, Now,
Forever,
Together. Forever, Together, you're right.
Together.
I'm wrong.
And I think I said it wrong first time around.
Oh, I don't know.
And what it is, when I first watched it, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, they've tried something new. I get it. I'll mm-hmm. get used to it.
Yeah.
And then me and Pete watched it again like half an hour ago. I really like it.
I think it's fine. It's a bit long.
But maybe this is the WrestleMania version. It's the long bumper and we'll have a shorter version.
Maybe.
Going forward.
I doubt it.
All Triple H's voice though.
Yeah. Because as the commentator said at the start of the show, we're in the Triple H era now.
Yeah. So he did say that.
Commentators did say that. Yeah.
I wrote that in my notes and I wrote a whole opening around the Triple H era. Mm. And then I thought, wait, did I make that up in my head?
No.
I tried to rewatch the clip before my news went live, but there was an audio issue on the network.
Mm.
Did you see this?
I didn't, know.
Where it was just like, the visuals started at 000 with halfway through Becky versus Rhea.
Oh.
But it was all the audio from the start of the show.
Oh, interesting.
It's fixed now.
Yeah.
Oh, so it is. They literally called it the Triple H era.
The commentary said, we're now in the Triple H era. That's pretty definitive to me. That is what they said. And considering that Triple H's promo said, this is the start of a new era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a cool, like almost movie level opening video package with a chap called Meek Mill.
Mm-hmm.
Got some cool cold open shots of Cody, Seth, Roman and Rock walking around mm-hmm. backstage.
Yeah.
Really gave the whole night a through line. It wasn't just a series of matches. It felt like a movie this entire night.
Yeah.
And that's maybe why I enjoyed it so much. I gave it a ridiculously high score according to some people.
Yeah. I think it was pretty high. Yeah.
What would you have given it?
Not that. Not 90.
A lot of people are saying that's not the wrong anthem. So they sang the proper national anthem when they usually sing the other one.
Oh, sure. America. I don't know.
Because Vince McMahon liked the non-version.
Oh, I see. Right. So they sang the actual national anthem this time.
I think so.
New era.
And
but more importantly, though, just want to point out big return number one of the night.
Okay.
The real feel was back. They kept talking about the temperature all night. It was great. I loved it. It was a bit cold from what I hear, which converted from Fahrenheit, because I don't know Fahrenheit, was about 9 degrees Celsius.
It's chilly if you're just sitting down.
Which is definitely a bit chilly. Mm-hmm. But also, do we need to hear about it after every match? I don't know. Anyway, I got a big pop. I was like, the real feel. They didn't say real feel, but for me, it was the real feel.
When I first started out in sort of production and stuff, I was told two things by the guy who was my boss at the time. One, never use a record scratch. It's hokey and a cheap way to do
it. We do it all the time in the news.
We do blip.
No, we do record scratches.
We do bars and tones. We don't do.
Yeah, we do.
When?
All the time. You kidding?
We do bars and tone.
We've definitely done record scratches a lot.
Not on my episodes.
Okay, yeah.
And the other one was, the audience don't care how hot you are or mm-hmm. how cool you are.
Yep.
You are making a show. Because, you know, studios, filming sets can get really, really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you're not scripted, you just start talking about how hot it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad TV.
Yeah.
But here it did set, like it did influence the wrestlers. It's more of a sporting thing.
I think there was a point to bring it up to be like, how is it going to affect the wrestlers in these conditions and blah blah blah. But when they're like, I've got hand warmers, I'm like, okay. Cool.
Can't use my tablet now.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael Cole.
Why do you think it did affect things? Is the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, stadium shows by their nature that a lot of the atmosphere dissipates outwards mm-hmm. and upwards. So they're not as intense as arena shows. But not the greatest crowd.
No.
And that's unusual for Philadelphia.
Mm.
So it's either too many norms.
Too many normies.
Have gotten in.
Yeah.
Because WWE's hot right now.
Yeah.
Or they were legit freezing. And it's difficult to get really drunk when you're cold.
That's true. Yeah. And that's what you need to be loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was unfortunate. I think I've seen people exaggerate and be like, oh, worst crowd ever or anything like that. They weren't that bad, but they could have been louder. And it did take away from a couple of the matches, I think.
I know Mania is always in a stadium these days, but I really, really hope in a couple of years' time as part of the Triple H era, because he is a man of tradition as well, mm-hmm. we get a Mania in Madison Square Garden.
That'd be cool.
And it's just like the hottest thing, the craziest crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And each ticket is like £5,000. so they don't actually lose any revenue.
Only rich people can go. That's the way to do it. Anyway, also part of the new Triple H era, he was announced as Paul Triple H Levesque, not just Triple H.
Well, at the Hall of Fame, Paul Heyman got a Paul Levesque chant going for Triple H in the front row.
Wild.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't want it. I want him to be Hunter forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Punk
right?
talked about that on the Hawani interview. Like, people call him Paul, but the old, like, the previous generation of which he's a part still call him Hunter.
Yeah.
Like Randy Orton would call him Hunter.
Yeah.
Weird. The opening match was Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. Becky got a recap, like the video entrance where she got a recap of her whole career, excerpts of her book. Mm-hmm. I thought it was quite well done as far as AR goes. And then Ripley came to the ring with a live band, which actually sounded okay.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, most WrestleMania live band entrances sound like they haven't been audio checked.
I will say it was a million times better than another one we got on this show, which I think might be the worst WrestleMania live entrance of all time.
Little Wayne's.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about the other big return?
They made their entrances to the ring. And then when they're doing the ring announcing and they're introducing the title, the champion and the challenger, they got the 8K camera. And I legitimately popped. I went, the 8K camera! Because it looks so nice. Use it more, man. It's so beautiful. I love that shot.
It's like full-on portrait mode.
Yeah.
For a camera. It was beautiful.
It's so good.
So this match, I really enjoyed this match. It was the story of Becky having experience and strategy, like Rhea's arm is injured, so I'm going to target that arm. My finisher is the disarmer. Mm-hmm. And Ripley was like, yeah, but I'm stronger and I can outlast you with toughness. Mm-hmm. And they just told that story. So it was very back and forth. And I felt like, although the crowd did sometimes boo Becky, although the boos for Becky, the boos for Cody, boos just sound louder, even though it could be a small portion of people. And because everyone else was quite quiet because of the cold, I wouldn't put too much stock in.
No, I wouldn't either.
That being a result of bad booking.
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah, I really enjoyed this match. I think that there was one point where I was like, oh, are they just ending it now?
Mm.
Where Ripley got in the prism trap submission. And then she hooked in a body scissors on top of it. I was like, oh, this is like the grapevine for an ankle lock. Like, this is like the next level of the thing. I was like, oh, are they just ending it? But Becky got out of it. Fair enough. But then what I really liked about this one was you got the payoff of so much booking for months and months and arguably like years at this point for Rhea Ripley, because that riptide is super protected.
Mm.
Very, very rarely, not that I can recall currently, do many people kick out of one riptide. So when Becky Lynch kicks out of a riptide in this match, you go, oh my God, like that, I completely bought that as the finish. Because that is how you protect a move over the course of at least a year at this point, because she won the title last year. That shit, Ripley kicking out of a manhandle slam, Becky then kicking out of the riptide, I was like, okay, wild. This is crazy. How are they going to up it from here? When Ripley got on the top rope, I was like, oh, they're going to do a Superman handle slam. That's how Becky's going to win. Of course, they went for that, but that's not what happened, because Ripley then picked her up and did a riptide into the corner, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
I love that spot. And then immediately hits another riptide, and then Ripley retains. I thought this match was rad.
Yeah, good finish. Good opener. Mm-hmm. Went about 17 minutes, I think.
Yep.
And I don't know if this was always the decision. I feel like Becky was probably slotted to win this belt. Her book's out.
Mm-hmm.
She was the big female star of the division. She's been going on that redemption arc storyline. Mm-hmm. She's the baby face.
Yeah.
But I think keeping the belt on Rhea's the best call.
Yeah, it's not a bad move at all.
I don't know where Lynch goes from here.
I don't know where Ripley goes from here. Who's left? Mm.
Well, maybe some sort of draft he could do. Bring over some
maybe.
People.
Yeah.
From the other brand.
Yeah.
Because probably, you know, you've got Belair and Jay Cargill who are going to clash.
Yeah.
But I guess like a Cargill-Ripley match somewhere down the line.
Sounds pretty cool, doesn't it?
Next up, we got the six team ladder match for two sets of belts, the Raw and SmackDown, which is DIY versus Awesome Truth versus Champions Judgment Day versus New Catch Republic versus New Day versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
Yes.
Pretty deadly. Got a fun little skit beforehand, walking down, sort of running down each team and their chances. They said Ciampa was Gargano's dad, father and son team.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, he's not. Gargano's not his son. He's like, so they're each other's fathers.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah. It's a good bit.
Apparently, Pretty Deadly will get the winners. They set up there like the number one contenders, I guess.
Cool.
And then we got the entrances. DIY came out in proper DX gear.
DX cosplay.
Yeah. And they got the green X for the entrance.
Yeah.
The match itself, while it was cool, because ladders, tables, spots, it was just a bit too much, like, busy for me. There's 12 people in that ring.
I think you could make that work. And for me, if you try and treat each team as like one person and try and book around that, I think there's a way to make a lot of the busyness not seem as busy. If you get some very creative tag team spots, you get like, because it's a unique environment, having a tag team ladder match like that, they haven't done this many teams in so long. You can get some really creative tag team spots here. And it felt like a lot of the spots were just kind of one person to one person. Mm. So there was a lot of like just a normal ladder match, but happened to be with tag teams. And I felt like it lacked that kind of extra level of creativity to try and make it into its own unique, this is a tag team ladder match stipulation kind of thing. Not helped, I think, by the fact that the SmackDown tag team titles were won kind of unceremoniously.
Yeah.
With Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. They just kind of pushed, I think it was DIY and New Catch Republic, just like pushed them off ladders, picked up, and then they just grabbed the belts. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, anyway, moving on. And then it kind of, no fanfare kind of thing, just move on because they were going for both sets of belts that were separate. It just felt a bit underwhelming.
It felt like the match was designed to separate the belts.
Absolutely.
Rather than prioritize what would make the best match.
Exactly, yeah.
Because if this was just for one set of belts and it was three teams in your classic TLC, Dudley's, Edge and Christian, Hardy's days, I think I would have preferred that match so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Just six people in the ring, working together in teams.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to do it down because it was entertaining.
It was.
And some people took some hellacious bumps. Waller, who doesn't really take bumps like this, he sort of Miz-like, powerbombed through a ladder outside.
It's a great spot. Immediately after winning the belt as well, he still had the belt on his shoulder and was just holding it as he went through. I thought that was very funny.
R-Truth was the most over. He got a hot tag from Miz in a match without tags. And he did his whole Cena five moves of doom bit. And then he actually sort of got his own back on Judgment Day after all that time. And he was the one who went up and claimed the Raw tag team titles.
Yeah. I think... I don't want to gloss over some of the great spots in this match because there were some great ones. It just felt... It was lacking that extra level. Like, Johnny Gargano hitting a slingshot DDT through a table on the outside. I was like, oh my God, that looks awesome. Or like the air raid crash from Ciampa off the ladder in the center ring was fantastic. But then when we got to the end, this is a me thing. I don't really care about the Awesome Truth. Mm-hmm. The crowd there loved it. And they were super, super into R-Truth. And when he hooked the titles, everyone was like, yeah, feel good WrestleMania moment. Me personally, I don't really care. So at the end of it, I'm like, these are the two teams that I care the least about winning the belts. And I know that's a me problem, not a them problem. They did not book the match poorly. That's just, I don't particularly care about the winners.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And it is important because it's not just about this match. It's about, well, what's the next month of TV? Mm-hmm. Are you excited for the tag division right now?
Yeah.
No.
Not really. No.
But you could sort of satisfy both masters. You just have Awesome Truth win the first set of tag belts.
Mm.
Then you get that pop because it's kind of a funny thing. Truth has won it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual winners, even if it's Waller and Theory, they can get that heel heat that they've done it.
Yeah.
I would have much preferred a DIY or New Catch Republic win.
Yeah, 100%. I felt like this could have been used to elevate a team more.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't used for that.
The sun has now set. And everything is dark, and it looks awesome. The next match is Rey Mysterio and Andrade, because Dragon Lee, was it, who was added to the match, was taken out on SmackDown, versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. This felt, you know, even though it's not a singles feud, singles blood match or for a championship or anything, I thought, well, you know, to faction warfare, they've done a really good job of this. Maybe it deserves to be on the Mania card. But then when you actually watch it, you're like, oh, this was just filler to set up a celebrity sports thing. And the proper match will happen at the next pay-per-view.
Probably, yeah. Good stuff. Also want to shout out the star of Monday Night War, Humberto Carrillo, who was there. Being great, by the way. Yeah, claw marks or whatever. Also, speaking of getting in shape, a man's gone ripped. Crazy. Well done, Humberto. Star of Monday Night War and Monday Night SmackDown specifically. I love Andrade's spinning elbow thing. It's one of my favorite moves. And the way that Dom sold this one was so good. Where I legitimately went, oh, when he did it. It's one of those ones where you just get that little that jump of excitement. I love that move so much.
There was an amazing bit when Andrade put Rey on his shoulders in an electric chair.
Yeah.
And they both did a sort of jumping crossbody, like they're one person, like Muppet Man has done a crossbody, take out Santos and Dominic outside.
It was great.
I thought, I've never seen that. And even now, like at whatever age Rey is, he's still doing innovative things I've never seen.
Yeah.
So really, really impressed by that.
It's wild. Yeah.
We got the, speaking of, we got the whack and wild spot, the springboard super leap.
Yeah.
But then ultimately, Santos kind of was in a place to have it won. He's calling to Dominic to get some a chair. But these two massive guys in lucha masks stopped Dominic and let Rey and Andrade get the win. And they revealed themselves in the celebration to be Jason Kelsey. And the other guy I've not written the name down of. I think it's Lane.
Yeah.
Lane Stevens.
Sure. I'll take your word for it. I believe we also both wrote in our notes.
Lane Johnson.
Lane Johnson. I think we both wrote in our notes. It's Taylor Swift's boyfriend. It's funny because it's not.
Yeah.
And you made that mistake in the news that everyone said you were wrong about.
Everyone. Even SP3.
Yeah.
Message me.
Yeah. Be like, hey, bud.
I know this.
You're wrong.
So, yeah, this was really a filler match, but you know, I think it's fine to be on there because you want a bit of mainstream celebrity nonsense.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't mind it.
That's fine.
Probably the worst match on the show, unfortunately, is Jimmy versus Jey Uso. I think most of us could have told you this going in. Not that it will be a bad match, but that no one will properly, it won't click properly. Me and Luke have got this. I don't know if you think the same, but just these sort of brother on brother matches rarely seem good on paper but never actually click.
I don't know why that is, because it feels like they should, you know. Again, on paper it sounds like a really good idea, especially these two with their history of the bloodline story and everything. You'd think this is a home run idea to get them, because it's not just brothers imploding, it's the whole context of the bloodline and Samoan culture and everything that feeds into that. But yeah, it just didn't work for me, this one, because it felt like it had maybe three moves and two of them were super kicks, you know? I will say, the video package for this match, one, was great, and two, almost made the story make sense, which, well done for that, because they missed out the bit where Jimmy turned on Roman first.
Yeah.
So if you just ignore that, the story makes sense. It's great. It just didn't work. I wrote in my notes that they just feel like they're off a step, you know. It just feels like they're not quite connected, they're not quite clicking with whatever the story was trying to be. And they tried to have this big emotional moment later on where Jey was trying to do another super kick, and Jimmy kind of put his hands up and told him to stop, and Jey was debating, do I stop, do I not? And then Jey was pleading with him, saying I'm sorry, tried to reconcile, and of course Jimmy turned on him and the crowd were like, boo.
Yeah,
obviously
you're an idiot, Jey.
You're an idiot, we knew that was going to happen. Jimmy made the comeback, didn't get the win, and then Jey came back and then won with a spear and a splash. And it was like, okay. It didn't get to that next level of emotional family drama that it felt like they wanted to do for this.
So when when Jimmy was like, no, stop.
Yeah.
And Jay's acting of that and Jimmy's acting, I was like, oh, okay, they found a way to make me into this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit weird it's coming 8 minutes into the match. Mm-hmm. It's an 11-minute match, joint shortest on the whole card. This, even though like I had my reservations about this match clicking, this is a 15, 20-minute match minimum to tell this like big blood feud mm-hmm. story thing. So it didn't feel earned when the match wanted us to get really emotional and invested in that moment. So it needed, it either needed more time and a bit more heat from Jimmy or Jay beating up the other one, or I don't know why they're so averse to using him, a Rikishi.
Mm.
You bring a Rikishi out here, or he says like, don't do it or stop, or even helps Jimmy win.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think probably this is their first match. If this is going to be a continuing program, Jimmy should win.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay just won.
That's the end of it. That's it. Move on. You just need the one and done. Hey, that's their finishing
brotherly
move.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe even if like Rikishi's trying to like calm them both down and be like, you don't need to do this, this, and then Jimmy super kicks Rikishi. You know?
Whoa.
That would be a really cool spot. Like that would be like a moment.
It would have something.
Right? That's a bit of like emotional drama that makes you buy into that match a little bit more and it just feel like it didn't have it. Also, Lil Wayne's performance was the worst thing I heard on this show. It was dreadful.
Mm.
I don't mind Lil Wayne. I think he's fine. Here he wasn't. I hated it.
Pete Quinnell shoots on Lil Wayne. After that, we got Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill, which I refer to as Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair. And also Naomi's here. Versus Damage Control of Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
Again, this was kind of similar to the Latino match,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, well, it's not for a singles blood feud. It's not really for any long-lasting story. And it's not for the belts that are there. So what is this? Why isn't this a TV match?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it could be a main event of TV. I'm not saying it's a bad TV match, but is it a WrestleMania card-level worthy match? Because if this is one night, this isn't on there.
Yeah. Well, it might be. Just a very long mania.
Matches, yeah. But what it was designed to do, which is another 8 minute match of getting Cargill over and making Belair look really cool, they achieved that well.
100%.
So I don't think this match should have been on the card, but what it set out to do, it did perfectly fine.
Yep. I think Cargill, once again, looked really cool.
Holy hell. They talk about getting in WWE shape.
Mm-hmm.
Like they used to say this about indie wrestlers in the late noughties. Like all of a sudden you'd get really cut and you'd look really lean. And when I saw Jade come out and on the SmackDown as well, I was like, oh Christ, I didn't know there was a WrestleMania shape.
Yeah.
Unbelievable condition.
Yeah. The babyface's entrance, by the way, was really cool.
Yeah, that was good.
Really liked their entrance. I thought it was awesome.
It was like they descended from a big platform.
It was a Bobby Roode platform that they had.
It was a Bad News Barrow.
Yes, of course. But Jade got the win with the Jaded on Dakota.
Oh, and Asuka tried to miss someone. I think it was Belair.
It was Belair, yeah.
But she ducked, and it should have hit Kairi.
Yeah.
But the wind blew it away.
Yeah.
Didn't look, no one's fault.
Yeah, it didn't look fantastic. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
Oh, and Belair's hair match. Whip on Asuka.
Oh, it's another gunshot one, that one.
Sounded great.
Great.
But, yeah, the women's tag champs felt like an afterthought, but that's nothing new.
It is what it is.
Our final match we're going to talk about, though, was my match of the night, your match of the night, too. I think
agreed.
Most people's match of the night. It's going to be one of the better matches of the year. Gunther versus Sami Zayn on the 666th day of Gunther's Intercontinental Championship reign.
This started off with the emotions already up here because they had a backstage bit. And they had the video package, and then you see Sami Zayn backstage. And he's there with his wife and his child and just talking about like, and they're just kind of, he's just kind of riffing. He's just being like, you know, I'm going to do a few thanks guys. And then his kid is like, you can do it. And he's like, all right, yeah, thank you. And all that stuff. He's like, and he's like, you're going to play your music soon. He's like, yeah, they're going to play my music soon. Don't you worry. And I'm like, okay. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Sammy. Going to do it for his kid and all that stuff. Then he walks along, sees Chad Gable. Chad's like, I'm not going to come out there with you because you've always been able to do it yourself. Just remember, when you win, you owe me a favor. I'm like, okay, cool, nice. And then Sammy's walking up this big kind of gangway going up to Gorilla. He's firing himself up. He's hitting things. He's kicking like a bottle off the floor. And I'm like, let's go, Sammy, let's go. And when I think the emotions are here, he walks through. You just see KO. You just see Kevin Owens standing there. And then he just hits him, hugs him. And he's like, let's go, Sammy, let's go. Like firing him up. And I was like, oh, let's go, Sammy. I love this man so much. I love Sami Zayn. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And this like little fire up spot. People had their questions with the gauntlet match and Sammy winning and not Chad. And it was like, oh, this isn't the story that we wanted. We wanted Chad, not Sammy, and blah, blah, blah. This little backstage bit just made me go, cool, Sammy's winning. Yeah. I need Sammy to win now because that's the entire story. You've just sold me on everything.
Unless Chad costs him.
Right, which I did not want.
I wouldn't have minded it, but that was a doubt in my head.
Yeah.
I totally agree with the Sammy stuff. Like, you look at what have been the most emotionally invested moments for me in WWE in the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. And sure, some of them are bloodline only, like the Jay turning on Roman and Jimmy bits. Mm-hmm. But really, it's dominated. Four of the top five are going to be Sammy at saving KO at Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Sammy at Elimination Chamber.
Yep.
It's Sammy and KO beating the Usos at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And it's Sammy and Gunther here.
Yeah.
I don't get that way with any other wrestler. He's such a good babyface, such a good underdog. I love this match. And this is where...
Oh, here we go. Here's the sheet.
I did my homework.
Yeah.
So the 7 points of a wrestling match, which I'd always heard about, but I never actually knew what they were or could... Yeah. You know, because I know a lot about film structure and story structure. So I'm like, okay, here's the lowest point or the crisis of confidence, the hero's journey stuff. Yeah. Like, I learned that at uni. But I didn't know how wrestlers would apply that in a template to their matches. So number one, the establish. Mm-hmm. This is where you clearly establish. If someone's just coming in, they don't know any of the story. What are these characters here? And you've got Sammy being wished luck by everyone backstage. Mm-hmm. You've got Gunther just walking down alone, and he's intimidating. There's no Imperium with him.
They were on the stage. Yeah, and once he threw the coat, he then walked by himself. Vanished. Yeah.
And then when the bell rings, Sammy's moving around the ring. He's doing this. Mm-hmm. Gunther just standing tall in the middle. You've clearly established Sammy is the plucky underdog. Gunther is this powerful, dominating heel champion.
And as my partner correctly said, because this was the first match that she watched with me this morning, she correctly came in and was like, Gunther's supposed to be the heel, right? And I'm like, yes.
Oh, so it's...
Exactly.
Sort of instinctive.
Yeah.
And usually ginger people are the heels. But like, you know, uneducated people just go, Ginger person.
That's
why everyone thinks Laurie's the devil.
That's why he's always evil.
Then you get the shine. And this is the part of the match where the babyface shows that, they can do this. Mm-hmm. They can be... It gives you hope. And Sammy just starts off with chops, and then he'll dodge a Gunther chop, and he'll chop back, dodges another one. He's got all this heart. But then, number three, it's the cutoff. It's
arguably my favorite bit.
And it's like, well, usually like it would be a heel cheating.
Yes.
But in this instance, it's the heel. What's the heel story here? I'm more powerful than you. So Sammy goes for a springboard off the ropes. Gunther just catches him, German suplex. You know, so as a crowd experiencing that, you're like, oh, but I wanted the baby face to win. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to work for it. Then you get the heat, point four. And this is when Gunther keeps telling Sammy to get up. He looks over at Sammy's wife in the crowd, Mrs. Zayn. This guy. Mm-hmm. Not so great, is he?
Yep.
And then you get a hope spot. Mm-hmm. That's number five. And that's where Sammy came back with a few chops. And this is where, because I've never done this with a match before, I thought it's not really following the structure, though. But it's because those one through four, that's like, that happens. Mm-hmm. And then six and seven, which is the comeback and the finish, that mostly is the same as well. But the middle... The middle section just jumps back between cut off, heat, hope, cut off, heat, hope, cut off, heat, hope. And you're like, oh, I've never really realized that's how it went. And it three times you go through this cycle, even though when I watched it first, because I've watched this match twice now, I thought, oh, they're just back and forth, back and forth. Mm-hmm. But you watch it back, they go through three clear hope cutoff heat spots, like cycles, three times, each one getting progressively higher and more intense. And you can feel the crowd getting more invested. Mm-hmm. So then when you get the final section of heat, which is Gunther, huge lariat cutoff, mm-hmm. the referee's checking on him, and he does that power bomb, mm-hmm. splash,
yep.
slow walk up to the top of rope, another splash. Mm-hmm. That's when you get the comeback.
Yeah.
And that's Sammy fires up. He hits a brainbuster
oh,
on the top rope.
That brainbuster, I lost my mind.
An old Generico move.
Right? I absolutely lost my mind.
Whips Gunther into the turnbuckle, runs over, haluva kick to the back of the head, another haluva kick to the front, and then the finish, Sammy just lays on him.
Yep.
And gets like actually a relatively weak pin. One yeah. arm
yeah.
is just exhaustion. One mm-hmm. arm over. One, two, three. And Samantha Irvine, when she does the mm-hmm. the thing, you can hear her choking up when she announces Sammy as the IC champion.
Yeah.
So sorry for my homework there, but I just thought it was so interesting. And you can do that. You can have that level of intelligence to annoy all your friends with by going over to masterclass.com. Links in the video description below to sign up to that course now.
Yeah.
You can talk now.
I love the brainbuster so much because I saw him, because Gunther went up to the top rope again to hit a third splash and he was getting a bit arrogant, right? Sammy came in and hit a haluva kick while Gunther was kind of like crouching on the top rope and then got him in a suplex position. I was like, okay, superplex. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then he got him up and I was like, that's vertical for a superplex. Oh God! As he came down for the brainbuster. Like I didn't put two and two together.
Did he slip?
Yeah. until he hit it, I was like, oh my God! Because Gunther's a big man and hitting that sort of brainbuster on a guy that big, I was like, oh, I absolutely lost my mind. And I legitimately just stood up. Like, I had my laptop on my lap making notes for this. And I just put it to the side and stood up and went, come on, Sammy! Let's go! Like, that level of investment. I love this match so much. I love Sami Zayn. I'm so happy he won. I know I wanted it to be Chad Gable at one point, but I don't care anymore. Sammy's my guy.
Well, now we can hopefully get heel Chad Gable.
Maybe.
Or whatever route they plan. Like, yeah. you know, Chad said, you owe me a favor.
And that's the thing. Chad Gable can lose to Sami Zayn, right? Chad's story has always been about beating Gunther, right? Mm. Which can still happen when Gunther's world champion and Chad can beat him for the world title. It's going to be great.
Well, yeah. that, you know, that is probably where Gunther's destined for now. He's proven mm-hmm. himself on the IC mid-card workhorse belt.
I really
2 years
hope,
as champion.
Really hope that Gunther loses upwards now. Loses the belt, moves on to bigger and better things.
Bash at Berlin, couple of months.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah. Triple H is a smart guy.
Yeah.
And we're in
yep.
his era. So yeah, overall I gave this show 90%.
Oh, that's high.
I'm all about positivity in wrestling.
Sure you are.
But I enjoyed the show. What more can I say?
Yeah. You know what? That is great. I'm really glad you liked it. I wouldn't rate it that highly, personally. I enjoyed the opener. I liked Gunther and Sami Zayn. And I liked the main event. The middle of the show to me was...
yeah.
I think the only... bad quote-unquote match was the Jey Uso Jimmy Uso match. The rest were fine, and the opener and the last two matches were really, really good. For me, this is like a above average show.
Yeah,
this is like a 3.5 out of 5, I would say,
which would be a 70%.
Yeah, sure, about that.
Well, let's get into your remaining Ultra Chats. We'll read out every single one over $5, so please do go over to wrestletalk.com/support. Get those in. Remember to check out our sponsor, WrestleWrestlingMasterclass.com. Links in the video description below. Stephen PD101 says, not going to lie, kind of hated the main event. Mm-hmm. Half the match was boring as swear word. The other half was chaos. What were the rules? Whole thing felt like The Rock just jerking himself off. I like heel Rock, but I hated this fluff fest.
I think you didn't need the rules because Rock had that spot of threatening to fire the ref. The ref was like, I mean, I want to end the match, but I can't do anything. I'm sorry. You know, he apologized to Cody Rhodes. That was the thing, was they could just do what they wanted. Mm. That was the rules, was there were no rules. Which does bring me to a point, though. The babyfaces won this match. What's to stop The Rock doing the same thing tomorrow anyway?
Exactly.
So what was the point of the the stipulation.
Well, now it can be more explicit. Now you open up, Rock can just become the referee.
Sure, yeah.
Unknown's been a Memberg for 31 months in a row. Thank you very much. Thoroughly enjoyed night one. Rock showed that he can still do a long match. Was pleasantly surprised. Night two main event is going to be memorable 100%.
It's certainly going to be memorable. One way or the other, this thing's going to be memorable.
Do you remember when we all said this last year?
Well, that's the thing. I wrote in my notes again for this time. I was like, this build has been fantastic. They just need to stick the landing. That's exactly what I said last year.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan. It's Dan. Hi, Dan. Hello, Pete. Hello, Ollie. I hope you are doing well. I'm kind of shocked still that Gunther lost the title. I really thought Ilya is taking the title from him, just like he did in NXT and WXW. Plus, isn't it awesome? Two Rhodes win a world title soon.
That's funny. That's funny, Dan.
Not everything can be booked around what you like from WXW, Dan. I think Gunther's going to be just fine. It sounds like Dragunov isn't getting called up anytime soon, either.
No. And if he does, Gunther will be world champ for like 10 years, so it's fine.
This one was missed from last night. C. Deaton loved how they ended the show with the same camera shot as last year, with Cody crying in the ring like that.
Yep.
Gunther-Sammy was match of the night, but I still wish it was Gable's moment.
Yeah, I do want more for Gable, still. I love the match, and I love Sami Zayn, but I do want more for Gable.
Ket, never been a fan of Gunther.
Wow.
At best, he's an average wrestler to me. However, last night was his best performance ever. I enjoyed the work he put in. Love that Sammy won. Hope he has a good reign as IC champ.
Great. I'm really glad you enjoyed the match. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah, maybe go back and watch other Gunther matches now you've maybe gotten an in on what you like about him.
Yeah.
King Cavill, thank you very much for your generous pledge or donation there. I don't know how people reacted to Sami Zayn beating Gunther, but I loved it. They told a perfect story, and those two might just be the best heel and face in wrestling. Plus, Gunther's reign being 666 days rules.
So good. I wonder when they worked that out. To be like, I wonder if they said, well, we'll have him lose at Mania, whatever, that'll be fine. Or they said, when's 666 days? It's on Mania, that's the date.
If it's anything like us, they probably realize the day of the show.
Yeah. Probably.
Geek of Arabia. Gunther versus Sammy was hands down the best match on night one. We got dueling chants. It's been too damn long since I've seen right proper dueling chants. I loved it.
Yep. So good.
Jordan Cherry. I know he just won a title, but what do you guys think Sammy should do in Toronto? As a Canadian going to Money in the Bank, I think he should win the World Heavyweight Championship for the pop he should have got in Montreal. Great work and thanks for the streams.
That's interesting. I believe that actually this coming Raw on Monday is in Montreal, which will be
great.
Which will be cool for Sammy. I don't know.
I think Sammy, have him do a proper IC title run, and to him, that belt is the top belt on Raw,
yeah,
or wherever it ends up. Because I think there's too much good stuff to tell with Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Rhea versus Becky on the subject of this. Anonymous, maybe I was being a bit too fanboy, but with their stardom, I felt Rhea versus Lynch could have been a generational match. I'm a bit bummed it wasn't. Also, my normie cousin is a motionless in white fan, saw Rhea's entrance, and has not stopped gushing over her.
That's the band that played.
I see.
Yes. That's valid. And yeah, I agree. I think I had higher expectations for the Rhea-Becky match myself. It was still a great match, but I think I expected it to be match of the year, incredible, and it didn't quite reach that level.
Matt Hennessy says, WrestleMania 40 was a good show, a solid 4 out of 5 show, at least night 1 was. We shall see what night 2 presents. Outside of Jimmy versus Jay, I thought all the other matches were good to great. Honestly, Sami Zayn has been, in my opinion, the biggest success story of the Triple H era. From ending the longest tag title reign last year in the WrestleMania main, to ending the longest IC title reign this year. Sami Zayn, in my opinion, is the best babyface in wrestling. Sorry, Cody. Sorry, Will. I loved 6 of the 7 matches. The Usos match sucked. And while I really enjoyed the tag title ladder match and expected Awesome Truth to get the Raw title, why give the SmackDown tag titles to Theory and Waller? DIY or British Strong Style should have won those.
I agree.
I don't get to say this because I don't review SmackDown or Raw. Mm-hmm. Birminghammer. What a name.
It's fantastic. I love it.
Sky Shadow Run. I hate being so negative. It's a great way to start a chat.
Love that.
But I think if we didn't have night 2 to go, that would have been a forgettable Mania. I agree.
Yeah. But it's not.
The matches were all good. Some were great, but it never felt biggest WrestleMania compared to last year. Even the stage felt just fine to me.
I do agree on the stage. I think it is an okay stage, and it could have been a bit more.
To me, it's like Across the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
When the second part of that is out, I will probably enjoy that more than Into the Spider-Verse.
That's crazy. I don't know what's better out of Into and Across.
They're great.
They're both fantastic. But this is very much a part one.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard to review a night one because it is so. It's like reviewing Infinity War, mm-hmm. right? It is so intrinsically tied to Endgame, right? Infinity War is a fantastic movie, arguably one of my favorites, but it is very much a part one. You know, this feels the same.
Lobi, I thought this show was great. Jay versus Jimmy was a stinker, which is unfortunate, but everything else ranged from very fun to legitimately incredible. This show is a 4 to 4.5 stars for me.
Nice.
Jake WTW, other than Rhea, Becky, Sammy Gunther, and the last 10 minutes of the main event, I felt this show was very lackluster. The ladder match was okay, Jay Jimmy didn't have the drama it should have, and the trios match outside of the entrance felt like a Raw match. A proper 3 out of 5 show for me. Hopefully night 2 is better.
I think that's the closest... Ultra Chat that I agree with so far. Mm. I think that's pretty much spot on to how I feel.
Kazoo was there last night. Was extremely cold. Had a great time. Crowd was loud, but the stadium and cold didn't get it across well. All the matches were good, except the Usos, sadly. Main event did not feel like 45 minutes at all. Was shocked at the time.
Crazy. Mm. Very much felt like 45 minutes to me.
And we've got two more here. Meet Normus. Here's a small sack of monies for my favourite British grannies. Grannies?
I rescind my thumbs up.
Tonight's main event will be an overbooked car crash, and I'm here for it. Meet forever.
Absolutely.
And finally for now, Tracy WV88, Memberg for 7 months in a row. Love Sammy and Gunther. I cried when Sammy won. Becky had 102-degree fever, but what's the real feel, Pete? So I think that affected the match. That's a good point, actually.
That's
Becky
a good point.
Was ill either the night before or several days before.
Yeah, they said like the week leading up to, basically.
Great night one. Can't wait for tonight.
I am very excited for tonight.
Can we have a look at the final poll to see what the overall consensus was?
We certainly can. It's some results. 72% thumbs up.
Wow.
I don't know about the rest because I can't see them without... going over there.
You can go over there.
Okay, I'll go over there.
For time, I'll talk about our sponsor, masterclass.com. Click the link in the video description below to go over to masterclass.com and you can check out all the modules. Let me read some of the modules here for you. We have becoming a wrestler, becoming a promoter, becoming a booker, wrestling psychology parts 1 and 2, other on-screen talent like referee, commentator, ring announcer, or manager.
The results of the poll, 72% thumbs up.
Oh, we've got it here. Mid 24%. Thumbs down 2%.
I think that's fair.
So no one's saying this is a bad show.
No.
All they're saying is it's a mid show.
Yeah. I think it being promoted as the great biggest WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. I think it's not reached those expectations yet. We have a night 2 yet to come. But I think it is a good show.
Yeah.
Overall, above average.
Well, go and subscribe to the WrestleTalk channel because Luke and Sati Nyangi will be there this evening for the Night 2 live reactions. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. It's been Pete Quinnell. Jam and Jam.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.